Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well. Push pause on the recording and the talking. Watch the movie while eating two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Come back, record a second half of the show, talking again about the very same movie, discussing in depth with comedic analysis how it held up in this day and age, what we got right and wrong. And that's the show. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very special episode.
What's special about it?
This is the finale of our 20 Roberts 5 celebration.
Our completely intentional and very deliberately plotted sequence of Julia Roberts movies.
Oh.
Yes, our third, the top three Julia Roberts movies, everybody knows.
Objectively, yeah. The top three Julia Roberts movies.
Pelican Brief.
Yep.
Steel Magnolias.
And at number one with a bullet. Hook.
Yay! She, of course, is Tinkerbell.
Indeed. Tink,
who is a little horny for Peter Pan.
What?
That's my bet.
That's what you remember?
My first bet.
Nice.
Okay, here's the thing. I was thinking about Hook today.
Please.
And I was realizing that I've only seen Hook as a kid.
Mm.
And I've never understood what was happening. Because I'm like, why is he an adult?
Right.
Nice. He's an adult, but then he left Neverland and then he grew up and then he comes back and then they're like, Peter?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
That's what's happening.
Yeah, okay. You got
nailed it.
Have we all seen it?
Yes.
I think I saw it. Oh, I did not like it. It has Robin Williams in it though,
it
right?
Sure does. Plays Peter.
And then who's Hook? That's some big deal person.
Dustin
Hoffman.
Dusty H.
And I think I have a memory that this was not a great filming experience for Julia Roberts.
Oh no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because she had to be so small.
Yeah, they had to make her so small
so
during
awkward.
The filming. Yeah.
She almost got stepped on so many
so
times.
So many times.
And they had to make a little tiny craft table for her.
Oh, right. That's cute.
That's cute. I wish they did.
Yeah, don't we all.
What if we made just little craft tables? That would be fun. With like tiny donuts on like a tiny fold-out table.
For hamsters?
No, for us.
Oh, like we
just
would.
Just for fun?
Yeah, you could use Cheerios as like donuts and
like
stack
decorate
them up.
Them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cute.
It is very cute. The idea. The fastidiousness required to actually pull it off makes me break out in hives, but you go nuts.
Yeah. I'd eat tiny snacks.
I'd eat them for sure. And I'd appreciate them and maybe even post them to the social media.
Ooh, or maybe you make giant snacks so you can feel tiny.
Tink tables.
There is a local artist and I am trying to think of what her like handle is, but she makes tiny food things out of like polymer clay.
Oh,
and they look real. Except for very tiny. I think it's called Bland Bakery.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up real fast to confirm. Yeah, the Bland Bakery on Instagram at the Bland Bakery.
Check it out, fans
so
of
cute.
Small food.
Yeah, I mean, if you like tiny things.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just plugging a local artist. No big deal.
Yeah.
Speaking of handles, Captain Hook notoriously has a hook hand.
Oh, great transition.
Oh, my God.
We got through. Did everybody see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen it not as a child?
I don't think I've seen it not as a child. I think I saw it, though. I like this movie, or at least I remember liking this movie. I think it came out at maybe the right time for me, because it's kind of like, not your parents, Peter Pan.
That's right.
But it's also like not badass. It's just like a little cool.
Yeah.
And a little different.
Yeah. I think we must have liked it because I think we owned it on VHS.
Wow.
Nice.
So I think I watched a lot as a child. I don't know if I've ever seen it as a not child.
Yeah. How old were you?
11.
Boy.
I'm going to say this came out in 90. That's too late. I'm going to say 90. I'm going to say 90. I'm going to say 95.
Okay.
Which would make me 13.
Wow, wow, wow. Mm.
I'll say
I went
90.
All over.
For fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to say 94.
And by 90, I mean the entire decade.
No, too late. I already started talking.
I'm going to say 91.
Nice.
I love it.
I think I probably also saw it when I was like 11-ish or something like that. Mm. Like on TV for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I don't know. It definitely had already been out.
Sure.
Yeah, I was probably way too old to appreciate it. I was probably in between like not having any childlike wonder or nostalgia left and not yet understanding the whole grown man as Peter Pan situation to see it in a sort of ironic adult way.
Yeah, or like not old enough to like relate to his own feelings of like reflecting on his life and like what he's lost in his youth.
Yeah.
I feel like that might hit way harder now as 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
That aspect of the story.
It might, you know, it's funny. I once heard a, you know, just a quick background. I feel like very often women get pushed into more production roles and men get pushed into more creative roles for a variety of reasons.
Like in film or in general?
I would say in most creative industries, sure, where there is a titan of creativity, they were so often paired with a woman who like made stuff happen behind the scenes. And you'll find that very frequently, that there's a creative director, artistic director who's male, and an executive producer who's female. And not that gender matters. But in this case, societally, what I'm saying is, I was talking to a producer type who was a woman, and yeah, she was like, yeah, I didn't take that job because I did not want to be the Wendy to their Peter Pan.
Wow. Mm. Damn.
And that has stuck with me forever. I did not think you were
going to connect it back to
her. No, me neither. Yeah.
Congratulations.
We made it. Very we made nice. It.
Well yeah. done.
And Wendy is one of the children in the classic Peter Pan story.
Mm-hmm. She's the most responsible, right? She's the oldest.
She's the oldest. Yeah. Is now adult Peter, Robin Williams, married to Wendy? Is she dead?
No.
Is his wife dead?
No.
His children get kidnapped by Hook, though, yes, right? That's why he goes to Never Neverland.
Wendy is very old in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
How old?
Like old.
Like Titanic Rose.
Yeah, old. Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure, because I think...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So 40?
I believe the premise of Robin Williams' character is that Peter Pan continued to come by and visit Wendy and the boys or whoever else.
John? Started.
I don't know.
That sounds right.
And Peter?
And then...
No. Peter Pan. Wait, who's the other one? John.
Will?
Malcolm.
George. Seems like a thing.
George.
It's a basic ass name.
Just pick a couple of English male names and you're fine.
Ringo. It might be Paul, though.
Yeah.
I would believe Paul.
John
feel like and Paul.
George sounds more likely.
George.
It's going to be...
It'll be so fun when we get the reveal.
Really clear.
My point is, Peter Pan would come back.
Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
George Michael, obviously.
Perfect. George Michael. Yes. We got there.
Right?
Wham.
We'll find out.
Peter Pan comes and goes willy-nilly because he is a... You know,
just limp.
A little impish boy. And eventually he comes by and Wendy's like, I'm too old to go gallivanting with you anymore.
Oh.
And then he's like, but that's dumb and boring. But then she's like, look, I have my own kid now. Like, I'm old. And then he's like,
ooh la la.
Ooh la la. I love this girl.
Oh.
And then he decides to like stick around, I think, because he loves her daughter or something.
That's weird, and I think that's right.
That's hard for Wendy, though, isn't it? Didn't she have a little crush on Peter Pan?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
He's a lovable scamp.
But I mean, this is like
years
later.
Yeah.
Like imagine you have like a middle school crush.
Okay.
And then you just, you know, like they move to another town, but you see them every once in a while.
And they don't age.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. But I mean, like, let's say like even just like metaphorically, like they don't really grow up at the same rate that you do, right?
Okay.
So like eventually you're going to be like, oh, yeah, he's fine.
There's
he's
still,
a nice
like,
guy.
Street but... racing and like chugging soda or whatever.
But you're kind of like, oh, I dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That but then like they Ace... start dating your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then but like if they're not good enough for me.
Yeah.
Then they're definitely not good enough for my daughter.
Right.
I would feel
the
terrible.
Metaphor falls apart.
It really
at that
does.
Point.
Yeah.
My point is,
but
though.
But he grows up, though.
He grows up.
He's like a boring businessman.
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of business is he doing?
Ooh, I'm going to say...
Banking.
furniture.
Wow. Okay.
Are you writing down these bets?
No. Nope.
No.
I like sales because of the like
a generic
metaphor. Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you. Oh. Sure. Set sales for
sailing.
For selling. I said
furniture.
No.
Banking.
Yes.
Yes.
Dan said furniture.
I did.
I can't wait to find out if he is a financing expert for a furniture store. I'm going to be so excited.
So he doesn't have any tragedy in his life?
What do you mean?
Oh. The tragedy is that a magical pirate from the sky kidnaps his children.
Okay.
So he's married to Wendy's daughter?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Because it's either that or he has some sort of like...
Why does he have to go on his own?
Where?
To Neverland?
To Neverland. Does his wife come with him to Neverland to search for their children?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, then why doesn't she come?
Maybe because she can't. I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
I don't know how...
She's lazy? Maybe she's a lazy.
What?
Maybe it's too dangerous.
I think it's... You know what it is? I think it's because Tink is the one who takes him back. And she's probably like, I'm not bringing that whore to Neverland with us.
Yeah.
Because she's got that crush.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Tinkerbell is the one who brings him back.
That makes sense.
But he doesn't really remember being Peter Pan.
He does not.
So then when he gets back there, there's the Lost Boys.
Yes. Lost Boys. And the coolest character of all time.
In the history of film.
Rufio.
Oh! Hell yeah.
Okay, here's my question about Rufio.
Please.
That I can't remember as an adult. Is he like the new Peter Pan? And was he a Lost Boy when Peter was there?
I think he was like the coolest Lost Boy.
Yeah.
And then when Peter left, he kind of like filled the void.
Okay.
But he's also kind of got like a no king's energy. Like no one's Peter Pan anymore.
Well,
because
he resents that Peter left, I think.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, if Peter's not going to be here, then nobody. That was bad that Peter was even around because then he can abandon us. So nobody can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm starting to think now about Pinocchio.
Yes.
Are those the same Lost Boys? Or those are just bad boys who are turned into donkeys?
Those are bad boys.
Okay, those are just bad boys. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Okay.
What you gonna do?
I've never read or seen the original story. I don't actually know what the deal is with those boys.
My wife, no big deal, is reading the original story to my child, also no big deal.
Okay, nice.
But I cannot add anything beyond that.
Barry. J.M. Barry.
So you've
is
taken
that right?
no interest?
I am reading The Hobbit.
Oh.
To him?
To him, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're just like, I'm just in the corner.
Has he said
Hobbit.
Which he prefers?
He has not, though we did. I started reading The Hobbit after we watched Lord of the Rings on the show, and I was like, actually, this rules. I should read it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was into it until we watched Lord of the Rings. We got 2/3 of the way through, and now he's freaked out by hobbits.
Oh, no.
Because of that scene where Bilbo turns momentarily into a cursed demon man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's legit.
You flew too close to the sun.
Yeah. But he's promised me after spring break, we can read The Hobbit again.
Nice.
We'll see.
Did you explain to him that in this book, Bilbo's still a young fuddy-duddy who doesn't turn into a monster?
He said it reminds him too much of the scary scene in Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I suppose because you say Bilbo all the time.
Yeah.
So his brain just goes, oh, the scary man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough.
So I'll update next episode how that's going.
Thank you.
Do we think this movie does society the favor of not having a weird magical Native American tribe?
I was
Neverland.
Wondering, who's that? Tiger Lily? Princess Tiger
Something
Lily?
Something like
from
that.
The...
Yeah. I don't remember that.
I hope that's true. I hope we don't remember it because it's not in the movie.
I also don't remember
it. Out.
I would bet we get some borderline face painting and like whooping.
From the Lost Boys?
From the Lost Boys.
I see.
That's like a little uncomfortable, but we don't get full on. Native Americans in Native Neverlandians? Indigenous
sure.
Neverlandians.
Are they, though? That's the thing. Is anyone
whatever the appropriate term is.
Is anyone indigenous to Neverland? That's what I'm trying to understand. Like, are the Lost Boys lost because they used to also live in England and somehow wandered into Neverland?
Oh.
Or Never Neverland? Neverland?
Now it's starting to sound like Showland.
What?
Just one,
doesn't
right?
matter.
Okay.
Keep going.
I guess I don't know. Yeah.
Because, like, where did Hook come from?
Yeah, he's an adult.
What's his deal? Did his pirate ship like just get lost and
fell off the end of the world?
And had it ended up in that land?
These are good questions I don't have the answer to.
And why is he so mad?
And I'm sure the movie will clarify all of them. Why is he so mad?
Yeah, why is he so mad?
He lost his hand.
He lost his hand. Peter tricked him and he got eaten by the big crocodile.
Is that real?
That's what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
Again, I have never read the original story. Neither have I. I don't remember
anything. I remember the Disney movie pretty well.
In the movie, in that movie, does he say, you tricked me and now I don't have a hand?
Yeah, he like ate his hand and a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a pocket watch. And it's still ticking in the crocodile's belly, alligator.
Oh, there's a big alligator in this movie.
There is a reference, yeah. It like falls down on Hook, right? It's like he finally, in this world, he finally got the crocodile or alligator. I guess I don't remember.
I don't either.
Crocodile. Never smile at a crocodile.
Okay, great.
Right?
Oh.
I don't know.
Is that from Peter Pan?
From the Disney one.
Oh, I thought it was just general advice.
Yeah. Oh. I mean,
like if a brown bear don't care, black bear run fast.
Is that, is that the rhyme?
That old rhyme.
Polar bear accept death.
Yeah. Kodiak, get back.
Yeah, get Kodiak. Back to your car.
Kodiak bear?
Yeah.
Like a, they're a big bear.
Are
they brown or are they black?
They're brown.
They're a brown bear, yeah. I think.
Oh, yeah.
They're a scary one.
So yeah, run
they're
fast.
They're like a
run
the second biggest bear.
Yeah.
Sun bear don't care.
Sun bear for sure don't care, right? Because they're just like sad that they're not even bears or whatever.
Koala bear don't stare.
Also don't touch because they have chlamydia.
Yeah, they all have chlamydia.
Dude, what?
Yeah, koalas all like basically all have chlamydia.
Yeah.
On purpose?
I don't know. Like weaponized chlamydia? Yeah.
Defense mechanism. Yeah.
I have no idea. What are we talking about?
Hook.
Captain Hook,
well, yeah. So that's why he's mad.
So, and somehow, which maybe they don't even explain how, maybe it's just magic, he, like, realizes Peter Pan is a middle-aged dude on regular Earth and gets his revenge, finally, by kidnapping his own children.
Yeah, he must, like, have found a portal, or maybe he's got some fairy dust.
Oh, dude, maybe he followed. Maybe Tinkerbell was going to check on Peter Pan, and he followed Tink her.
Back. Maybe.
Wow.
Smee maybe was involved.
Oh,
it's right.
Smee. Dan's bad.
But what about Smee?
Fuck, what's his name?
Bob Smee? Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins is going to fucking rule.
Is he Smee?
Smee. Absolutely.
Yeah, can I just tell
he's
going to
be the best part of this movie.
This really brings it together for me because business lingo subject matter expert is Smee.
Oh, sure.
People say Smee. That's dumb.
It is, but I was resonating with some part of me. Was like, there's something this is attached to, and now I know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. He's like the first mate.
Yeah, and he rules.
Yeah.
So he's a goofball.
Yep.
Who else is... I feel like there are other adults in the movie that are recognizable.
Yeah. Maybe.
But I can't think of who they are.
Do we think any women speak to each other? I feel like it has to pass, right?
I mean...
If only because we know everybody's name.
If Tinkerbell talks to his daughter...
Yeah.
Pass.
Or Wendy,
who's old.
I don't think Tinkerbell's going to talk to Wendy.
Maybe Wendy talks to her daughter.
I think it's going to pass.
Okay.
I think there's... Well, okay, here's one thing I'm wondering. So... In the original story, there are two boys and one girl. Does he have two daughters and one son?
He just has two kids.
Just two kids?
I'm pretty sure he just has two kids.
All right.
A boy and a girl child.
Okay. Yes.
And the boy is a grump.
That's right. The boy's like gets turned by Hook, who's like, actually, I do want to be a pirate and my dad sucks.
Hook basically weaponizes his teen angst to turn him against Peter Pan.
That's right.
Grooms his child to be a pirate.
Yeah, dude.
It's gross.
Wow.
It's wild. I just remember that.
And then Tinkerbell is in a jar at some point.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. That sounds right.
That seems like what you do with Tinkerbell in any story at some point, right?
And then she's like, I just need a kiss or something, right? Is that from this movie?
There's definitely a point where through the power of magic, she becomes regular size and like is trying to like...
Oh, and things are awkward.
And trying to like express her emotions to Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And then I assume Peter's like... Yo, I'm married and I'm 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm a human being.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, oh God, I'm so fucking embarrassed. I'm so stupid.
There's no other fairies out there.
Yeah. What's up with that?
She's the only one.
You think Hook killed them all?
Oh, boy.
Hook.
Fairicide.
Try. You think dating in Manhattan's hard? Am I right?
Try Neverland.
Seriously.
All, never date.
All boys and the pirates.
Yeah.
Is that something?
What?
There's got to be some metric. Like, oh, hey, these are your three type of men on the dating apps. You got pirates, you got lost boys, and you got Peter Pan. I don't know. What's the third
one? Probably pretty accurate.
I bet you could easily write an essay with that premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it published at, like, Slate or something.
Sure. All right. I'll just get AI to write it. Ugh. I'm a prompt engineer now.
Gross.
There's also a very cool scene with fake food that I remember thinking was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They're all having a banquet, but Peter Pan sees nothing.
Yes.
And he's like, what's going on? I'm an old man.
Yeah.
And they're like, you got to use your imagination. And then he tries to imagine hard. And then weird food that also somehow looks delicious happens.
It's very strange.
And there's like one kid that's going like, he's remembering. Peter, you're remembering or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's going to be at least one lost boy that we are like uncomfortably like smitten with, like he's so adorable. I just mean like he's so adorable that like we can't help but be like, oh
yeah. I in my memory the food looks like Play-Doh
or is like that, paint or something.
Like it's very weird. Colorful. Yeah. It's colorful. Like primary colors.
I just remember like thinking it looked delicious, but it doesn't look like food.
Right.
Like, yeah, like a what's that ice cream that's like blue, like this. Superman ice cream or something.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there like a flavor of ice cream that's like blue and yellow or something? Or probably blue and red.
Blue raspberry.
I don't know. Anyway.
Bubblegum.
Does not matter. Superman? That's what it reminds me of.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Then they eat it. But then they also use a catapult on it.
What?
They catapult something.
It's a food fight.
Oh, it's
oh maybe a food someone fight. Just used like a slingshot with their paint food or whatever.
Yeah.
I just remember really hating this movie. So nice.
Do you remember why? Do you have any memory of like...
I think I just felt like the whole premise was irritating. You know, I might have been a teen. I'll be very excited to find out when this came out. Because I was either a teen, college, or post-college. So this was not going to be my jam either way. I probably went like, oh, I like Robin Williams. And then was like, oh, there's a lot of Dustin Hoffman as a grumpy pirate. Mm-hmm. So it has no nostalgia for me, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, there's a chance this movie could be a real slog.
Yeah.
Like, none of us have seen it as adults.
It performs well during Ralam month.
Mm. Okay.
That's what the M is, during Ralam. It's a hot Ralam nommer.
Okay.
Which is respect listener opinion month when people nominate films for our newer listeners. Mm-hmm. It is request, right? Respect.
No, respect. Yeah. But they do request.
Yes, they request what we shall respect. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, I mean, it's laid out pretty clearly when you think about it.
Yeah. I also remember them saying bangarang a lot.
Bangarang, yeah.
That's like their...
It's like their war cry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then now it's a song by local reference, Doom Tree.
Is it?
Doom Tree.
Oh,
bang-a-ring.
Yeah.
Bang-a-ring.
That one. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Skrillex song.
I don't know about that one.
Is that also bang-a-ring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bang-a-ring.
That's Skrillex?
Yeah.
And then it's go like.
Yeah. Bang-a-ring.
But there's like a really like nice little song, sing-songy bang-a-ring.
Is it called bang-a-ring? I think it is.
Huh.
I can't wait to go down this rabbit hole
later.
It's
the one where I feel like it's not the actual words, but it goes like, do-ku-do-ku-do-do, Kool-Aid, do-ku-do-ku-do.
Awesome. We are definitely looking this up.
It's not Kool-Aid. I don't know what he actually says.
That rules.
Yeah. All right.
Dan's bets, real quick. There's going to be a very large lost boy, and it's going to be... walking a weird line where maybe it's a bummer how much of his character is that he is large.
Yeah. Mm. It's like parallel in my brain. He's the same character as
in Goonies.
Yes.
Mm. Oh,
Junk. Was his name just Junk?
Yes.
Bummer. But I feel like this movie is too much later for it to actually be the same actor.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like he might be called like Fat Robbie or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just feel like his entire character is like, he's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like Rufio's entire character is he's cool and cool fucks.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow. This is a child.
He could fuck.
He could.
No, stop it.
He could.
He could.
He doesn't because
he's cool enough.
They're all incels, kind of.
Okay.
Well, they're right? Girls.
That's what I'm saying. Not in the politically charged word. I mean, like, they are literally incels because there are no girls in Neverland.
And they're all straight, or are
or
they?
Or maybe not. Who maybe knows? It's like, or maybe it's like the Spartan army where The more aggressive warriors might take a younger lad as a lover on the battlefield.
It could be. I think
this is
all,
for sure, all laid out in the dialogue in the movie.
Right? This is the original
almost
text.
Almost positive that they're all like, ew, girls.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are boys and they don't age.
Sure. Yeah, and yeah. They're like 11, but Rufio's like 15. So, like, he's
okay. Something's going on in there.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Something's okay. Going
on. Cool it, Dan.
But that's what Dan, and I said. The hypothesis that Dan and I are trying to propose is that the reason Rufio is so cool is because he's a little horny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I agree. I think we all agree about that.
Up to evaluating the level of horniness of a 15-year-old.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll do it for you.
Oh, God. Doesn't he have cool hair, though?
He has like
spiky
super
everything.
Super cool hair.
It's like red.
Yeah.
Nice.
And all I can picture is the bully in The Christmas Story. All these movies are just merging together. Sid or what's
as
the bully?
Rufio or
as
just
Rufio?
Huh.
That's who I'm picturing. You know what?
That's very different.
I'll sidebar
vibe.
Myself.
No,
I'll
I love this. Out. I love it.
Yeah, they all team up and get the kids back.
Yeah.
And then I think Peter goes back, and it's like.
To Neverland or back home?
Back to Manhattan or wherever.
Yeah.
Manhattan.
Right?
Yeah, because he's not going to. You know, I think he like gets all, he gets like high on his own supply,
oh,
but then
yeah.
His kids are like, hey, let's go home, asshole. But in like a sweet way.
Yeah.
That I do
feel
remember
like that's
that.
Like the last push.
Oh, he's
and he
like,
has
I'm
like a moment
here?
Of like.
Because he's like suddenly remembering all of the joy and fun of his youth. Again, I feel like it's going to hit way harder as 40-year-olds.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. I wonder how heavy the metaphor will be of like forgetting joy as a business sales furniture banker.
Right. Oh, I told my wife, no big deal, what we were watching, and she said that at some point the daughter sings a song, and she sang it at me, and I'm supposed to be impressed when I hear it that she got it exactly right.
Okay.
So Dan's informed bet, the little girl will sing a song at some point about being lonely or something.
Great.
That's all.
Awesome. Last bet, there is an adorable dog in the animated one. I hope and pray there is an adorable droopy-ass dog.
Yes.
In this one.
Me too.
St. Bernard. That's the type of dog.
St. Bernard.
Molly, how should we rate this movie?
It's Smee, Rufio.
Oh my God, amazing.
It's Smee.
There's no way. It's not Mario.
It's Smee.
Smee. Comma, Rufio! Exclamation point.
So it's Smee declaring himself to Rufio.
Oh, it's Smee, Rufio.
Yeah.
It could, you can,
but
you know
should
what?
Say
you
it the way you
it.
First said it.
It's Smee.
There's no A in it.
It's Smee, Rufio. It's Smee, Rufio.
Oh,
I'm Italian Smee. I'm a pirate. So this is like a Russian knockoff. Mario Peter Pan.
Yes, they combine the IP to create one perfect story.
Super Hook Bros.
Yes.
Super Hook Bros.
Yep.
Love it.
Great.
Yeah, and this is the character.
Yes.
It's me, Rufio.
It's me.
The character, Rufio. The full character's name is It's Me, Rufio. Oh, God.
Dan, how many...
Rufuigi. Sorry, what?
How many of this rating scale do you give?
Oh, man. I mean, I watched this a ton as a child, but children are dumb. And I kind of trust Molly's cynicism to some degree, and I'm worried it's going to be a real slog. But for the sake of embracing my own Peter Pan-like nostalgia for youth and joy, I will give it a 4 for now.
Great. Thank you. Beth, you're second.
Yeah, I just don't think that I'm going to like this. But I don't think it's going to be bad. So I'm going to Coward Island, which is maybe in Neverland.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm going to say 3.
Mm. Great. I am 3rd. I think like as a kid, this would have been like a 4.5, maybe a 5 movie. Mm. But I think it's not going to hold up as well as it did as a youth. But it's still fun. I love Robin Williams. He's so good.
Yeah.
I don't think he's super funny in this. I think he's like Jumanji level. This is like a Jumanji level performance.
Sure.
Like, it's a little bit serious. He's a little bit of a goofball, but he's not like a maniac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's closer to Life According to Garp than it is like the genie from Aladdin.
Ah, sure. Yeah. So I'm going to go with 4.
Okay.
Careful 4.
Careful, that four. I'm sorry, four what's though?
It's me, Rufio. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for respecting the rating scale.
Sorry, I forgot.
No, it's okay.
Molly, you are?
I'm fourth.
Molly, the finale.
Oh!
I remember it. We did that once.
Finally.
Finale.
I am fourth, and no one is offended by that. Yeah. Oh, late breaking bet. Dustin Hoffman's quantity of prosthetics, makeup, and costume make him walk very stiffly, and he looks like he's in a bad mood as an actor the entire time.
Oh, Dan's bet. I'm pretty sure Glenn Close is in this on a ton of prosthetic makeup as an old, wizened male pirate.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
Ooh.
Like, I don't even know if she's credited or if we'll recognize her.
Incredible.
But I'm pretty sure that's true.
That might bring it up half a point for me. I am going to surrender to my cynicism. If this were executive produced or a Rulon movie, I would boost it a point out of respect. But because we picked this ourselves, yes. I won't.
Yes.
I'm going to give it 2.
Yeah.
It's me, Rufio.
Hell yeah. Embrace your darkness. Smash a clock with Dustin Hoffman.
That's right. I think it's pretty long, too.
Oh, I think it is. It's like more than 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, no. And with that, we're going to press pause. Go eat 2 pizzas, 2 salads, watch 2 hours.
You don't know.
Ugh, of Hook. And we'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. This is Beth Gibbs coming to you in the middle of the podcast.
All right.
Cool, yeah. Beth Gibbs.
Cool, Beth.
I just wanted to let you know about friendship.
Ooh.
One thing that's fun to do with friends is tell them things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you might enjoy it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And odds are good.
Odds are good. If you do, you probably have friends who have similar likes to you.
That's common.
Yeah.
Friends.
I've heard
and
that,
might
yeah.
also enjoy listening to the dulcet tones of Totes Recall.
Mm-hmm.
Tones Recall. Is that something?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
It could be. So we're just here. Just asking you
in the chillest way
the
possible.
Coolest way possible. Like, tell your friends about us.
Hey man.
Yeah, if you like the podcast, let them know that they might also enjoy this podcast. Yeah. Get some laughs.
Feel free to secretly record that interaction to our voicemail.
Yes,
box.
Agreed.
That's the toast.
100%.
Yeah.
Listen, we can't afford bus tags or bench advertising.
What's a bus tag?
You know, like real estate agents have. They take over the bench by the bus stops.
Yeah, that's the a bench. That's what's a bus bench. Tag?
Well, I was thinking of like the things that appear inside the bus, the ads.
Oh, like up at the top?
Up at the top. Yeah.
Bus tag.
I think I made up bus
I'm
tag.
I'm picturing like a tag like on the bus driver.
Oh.
Like it's just like a lanyard that has an address on it. Oh, that's dystopian. I hate it.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do that.
Unless you're a bus driver who listens to Totes Recall.
Hey,
yeah.
Tell your ridership, please.
Yeah. If you're
next
a bus
stop,
driver.
Dulcet tones of Totes Recall.
Any bus drivers who want to advertise will get you a lanyard.
Totally.
Ooh, sure.
And a sandwich.
Generous offers. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But thanks, Beth. I thought that was a really good point you made about friendship.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, friend.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you for listening and continue to listen as the show goes on.
Whoa.
And we're back. We just watched 2 hours and 21 minutes of set design with some characters.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah
wow.
That is true. That set is unreal.
Designed.
It was like it 7 different studios. Like,
that's wild.
Yeah. Sound stages.
Yeah. A lot of theme park looking.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well.
Okay.
Great cast.
See y'all later.
Boom. Boom.
Speaking of things that come in 7s, Jesus. We now get our awards delivered in septuplets just to save on shipping.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Like we wait until we've won 7 more.
Yeah, then we don't allow them to deliver until they do it 7 at a time.
I see.
4 60-second summary.
I don't want to see your trophy unless there's 6 other ones in there with it.
That's right.
Nice.
Our
Think
award
about
winning,
the environment.
That's right.
Yes.
And then it still comes in a giant box.
With and like most,
huge bubble wrap.
And like half of the awards are just like big blocks of Lucite. Yeah.
60-second summary in which we summarize the movie we just watched, Hook, in exactly 60 seconds.
I got excited. I'm
in sorry. This land.
Yes.
I volunteered to do it.
Mm.
I don't think I've been taken up on that in a couple times.
No, I, was just I think say, it might be might your be time. Time.
I'm going to do it. It might be my time.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm not. Hold on.
I don't remember what we opened on. Well.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Go.
We open on Robin Williams as an old boring man, maybe?
Oh God.
Who knows? Anyway. they're doing business? No. Baseball?
Oh my God.
Anyway, it is established that Robin Williams is a bad father. Oh, wait. No, there's a baby who flashed forward? No, that was a different movie. Okay. It's established that Robin Williams is a bad father. He misses a baseball game. Then they fly to England. They're in Wendy's house. Peter Pan's real. And he...
30 seconds.
Oh, no. They go to a gala. Robin Williams' and wife. And then they come back and the kids are missing. Oh, shit. Robin Williams got to get to Neverland because he's Peter Pan. Tinkerbell brings him. He doesn't remember. The Lost Boys try to make him remember. They do. He bangarangs. Rufio's still cool. Then
10 seconds. Oh,
the children make him remember. Fake food. And he fights pirates. And then Captain Hook steals his child emotionally, but then they fight and a crocodile eats Captain Hook.
Time.
Wow. Really? Wow.
Well, and just like the movie, you almost completely forget about his daughter.
Exactly.
Man, those first 20 seconds were harrowing, my friends.
We opened on Trap.
Yeah.
It was much like watching the adult Peter Pan try to remember what it was like to be a lost boy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy, which opens on a young Peter.
Yes.
Quill.
Yes.
And my brain just like short circuited with like, Peters? Do we get a flashback?
Quills are a thing. Pans are a thing.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is also a thing.
Parker's
the same
thing,
universe.
Parker's not a thing.
There's two Peters?
Potter is... Listen, I have long said that Peter Parker and Harry Potter are basically the same voice. And this one, it's Peter Pan.
Voldemort and the Green Goblin?
Yeah. Okay. They're essentially the same. And Hook has the same over-enunciation situation.
Sure.
But he's less growly.
And for sure. British. Who are we talking about? Voldemort?
All of them.
Hook. Dustin Hoffman's Hook.
Right. The Green Goblin is not British.
No, it's that's the over-enunciation, not the accent.
I see.
Listen.
Peter Pan. Is it you, Peter?
I do like the way he talks in this movie. Yeah. I remember, as I watched it, I remember being very engaged by the rhythm of his speech as a child.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm. Speech.
Well, it's funny you would bring up.
Oh, speaking of.
That's right. Unprecedented. We're jumping to Q's and C's early in.
Oh, wait. We had a perfect. Is this about Genesis?
It could be.
Okay. Well, I'll wait it out.
He knows what he's doing, Molly.
Ugh.
I know he totally biffed the 60 second summary.
Yeah. And he doesn't write any notes, but okay.
I wrote a couple notes.
Discord, our text-based chat platform, where you as a patron can put questions and comments for the episode. Patreon.com/Totes Recall.
That's right. Kalashak icons. Kalashakons.
It's the first 20 seconds all over again.
Oh, no.
Sorry, this user, for mangling your username. Anyway, this applies to both the things we just talked
about.
Let's go. I love Hook. Now I won't have to relom-nom it. The cameo roles are some of my favorite cinema. Glenn Close, David Crosby, George Lucas, Carrie Fisher, Phil Collins, and Genesis. And I just found out Jimmy Buffett, too.
Of Genesis?
Jimmy Buffett was in there?
Whoa.
I also just found that out. I'm so curious to hear the reactions. I found that Dustin Hoffman as Hook is an evergreen performance.
Mm.
Just chewing up the scenery. On the other hand, with older eyes, I found Robin Williams' performance uneven and find his post-revelation Peter Pan particularly grating and super saccharine.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agree about the evergreen Dustin Hoffman performance. He is fun and great.
He is fun and great.
And Molly, you, who, Beth. No, Beth clocked Phil Collins.
Somebody like...
Molly did. I thought to myself, I know who that is, but I could not place... which actor it was because it was not, in fact, an actor. And then Molly said,
let me set the scene.
Okay.
The children of Peter Banning have been kidnapped. By the way, Steven Spielberg directed this movie. Shout out to Steven Spielberg because them coming to their post-pirated home was actually genuinely kind of unsettling.
Yeah,
like it was. The like hook scars in the wall and like
it's legit.
Liza the
terror stuff.
Nanny? I don't even know what her role was in that house.
She was terrifying.
But she's like fucked up.
Oh, yeah. And she says the children were screaming.
They were screaming.
It was rough.
It was, yeah.
Also, anyway.
Get in there, Liza.
Genuinely terrifying. Good job, Steven Spielberg.
Yep.
Children are kidnapped. There is a absurdly large and elaborate dagger stabbing a note with very good penmanship on the door. Sure. It says, Peter, I have your children. Come find them.
Come at me, bro.
Well, it's politely. It is, but it's like your children request your
That's presence. Right. It was
manipulative and unkind.
And comically polite. He was trying to be a stinker.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you do when your children are kidnapped, they call the police.
Yeah.
And there is an inspector there in London town. Mm. Inspector Jolly telling good. Them about how, I don't know, it could be a prank, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, not helpful. It not could helpful. Be a prank.
But they because of the literary history of this family.
Sure. That's not a prank, though. It could be like a deranged mind.
Indeed. He's a bad inspector. But the reason he's a bad inspector is because Molly, at some point, as he was about to leave, suddenly declared,
it's Phil Collins. I said, is that Phil Collins? Because here, another dimension, I was not even looking at the screen. Shocker. I was hearing his voice.
Oh.
Wow.
And I glanced up just in time to see his hairline. And it all came together in my brain.
Yeah.
Phil Collins,
like
Genesis.
The air tonight.
Your brain, like, it looked at this inspector's face. And then it was like, what if that very conservative trench coat were actually the wailing arms of an expert drummer?
Yeah. I wonder if the other inspectors are
the rest of Genesis?
Oh. Oh, yeah, probably. Because that would make sense.
Other Genesis guys is famous, too.
What?
I don't know enough about Genesis to answer that question,
hammer?
But probably.
Who's the guy who's singing the hammer?
What? Sledgehammer.
Is that what you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
No, what is happening? Sledgehammer is by a completely different artist.
But like Genesis is Phil Collins and another famous guy.
Oh, sure. But I don't know who that famous guy is.
I feel like he had a hammer song.
I'm so glad we are having an unprecedented listener scream at us in the second half episode. Because someone out there is shrieking.
Oh, Beth's Beyond Betrothed is shrieking at us right now. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's Peter Gabriel. He is Sledgehammer. You're right.
Okay, thank you.
Is he also in Genesis?
I don't know. Right? That's who Peter Gabriel is.
I typed in Genesis and the car popped up instead.
Oh,
yeah. Boo. Anyway, celebrities.
Is it really galore. Peter Gabriel plus Phil Collins is Genesis?
Members are Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, Mike Rutherford, and then a bunch of other people that I'm not sure are actually in the band because this photo only has three people in it.
Yep.
Inspector Mike Rutherford here.
I never realized that.
Well,
my whole life.
Now you know.
Great to know. Thank you, listeners.
What? Thank you, listeners. What? Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Dan. Me. Anyway, Glenn Close also has a...
When does Glenn Close appear?
I said out loud, this is a theme of tonight's watch,
it really
by
is.
The way.
Wow.
I said something that was objectively true out loud. At one point, Molly then asked, like 5 minutes later, questioning, is it that thing Dan said, the thing? And then she says, it is. I just figured this out. Because she looked on her phone instead of listening to her friends.
I know. I'm sorry. I've spent a lot of time on the phone.
Glenn
on this
Close
one.
Does a great cameo wherein Captain Hook is doing his little speech about how I've kidnapped Pan's children. Ha ha ha. This is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and who doubted me?
Oh, that's Glenn Close.
And he's like, you. And he thinks he's pointing at Peter Pan, or Peter thinks he's pointing at him, but then he's actually pointing at this other weird pirate man next to him. And you can see in the eyes and perhaps the shape of the forehead that it is indeed Glenn Close with a ridiculous false beard on.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Glenn Close gets put in the boo box.
In the boo box.
Oh, Jesus.
Which terrified me as a child.
I had completely forgotten about it.
And also terrified listener B, who goes on to say, the boo box is a formative childhood movie memory for me. The actor's reaction to Hook saying the boo box and just breaking out in a scream really scared me as a kid in a good movie way. Oh, geez, they all know what's coming next. A commonly outstanding Glenn Close performance, this time with a glue-on beard.
Indeed.
Oh, wow.
Do you think that's why he needed, like, a top-tier actor for that role? Mm. Of just, like, I mean, the pirate has to react to the boob on.
Yeah.
Okay, so
get here, me Glenn Close. Get me Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two theories about this. One is this whole thing was supposed to wrap in 76 days, and they went 40 days over. They nearly doubled their intended budget.
Yikes.
Wow.
And it was filmed in Culver City. So there were lots of celebrities close by who could swing by the set. Also, Steven Spielberg admitted, wait, what did you say, Beth?
I said it quiet enough that everyone looked over, but then everyone's like, never mind. I said Glenn close by.
Worth the trip.
To Culver City.
Yeah.
Three real high fives. That's no big deal.
So they were, it ran over also. Do you want all the goss right now, or should I like measure it out?
Give us the goss.
Here's what's going to happen. If you don't do it right now, we will be going on a banger of a riff, and you will stop the momentum. A bangeranger of a riff, and you will suddenly be like, oh, this thing.
Okay.
So let's just hear it.
All right.
Let's
here
get
we go.
The juicy goss.
Steven Spielberg says he lost his way on this movie. He felt really good about all the real life stuff at the beginning and the real life stuff at the end and all the middle.
Oh, no.
He never loved the script.
Huh.
And he felt like he had trouble bringing it to life. And so he relied on ever more production.
I can see that.
Like, and he's like, now I would do it in CGI, but at the time we didn't have it. Ugh. Meanwhile, poor Julia Roberts is in her own like sound studio somewhere and either playing against a green screen or playing with very large props around her, basically by herself. People started saying that she was difficult, which is like the code word for women having an opinion at this time.
Yeah.
And for, they started calling her Tinker Hell.
Oh, wow.
Instead of Tinkerbell, which is brutal.
Damn.
Yeah. And that's
Spielberg
just one letter difference.
Did not defend her.
Oh,
no. Meanwhile, she was dealing with, she was supposed to getting married to Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay. Mm.
I don't know if you remember, they were in Flatliners together, and they had this big romance, and they were engaged to be married. They're supposed to be married on July 14th.
Wait, Bastille Day?
Bastille Day,
did Hook
yes.
break up their engagement?
Listen on. Nice. Wow. So it's supposed to be like July 14th, June or July. Anyway.
Bastille Day.
But 40, you know, she was supposed to wrap the film 40 days before that, but it kept going. And the actual wrap day was July 13th, which was the day she announced that their engagement was broken and they weren't going to get married.
Oh, no.
So she's okay, all right, Dan. But she's a young actress all alone. People are talking about her on set, and she's not sure what's going on with her relationship, and it's dragging on and on. And I'm like, who is the line producer? Who doesn't have her come in for 3 days total?
Seriously.
Yeah. Like, what all is really needed from her that she couldn't do all of her lines?
Yeah, one scene with a she's
real
like
person.
This big later.
Yeah.
It's a heartbreaking scene.
But it's also confusing.
It is confusing.
There's a lot that happens that's confusing.
We'll talk about it.
Guess who's none of this is fault, though? Well, Julia Roberts, for one.
Okay.
And this was like one of her earlier movies.
91.
I think, I don't, you know what, let's take that back. We don't know about that, but here's what we do
we've
now.
We've only just done two Julia Roberts
where we had the exact same filmography. Conversation,
But I agree, we can't remember.
No,
I actually think this was not that early on. I think this was after. It doesn't matter.
Goss.
Here's the thing. Sticking to goss.
Thank you.
The lines of Tink were all rewritten by Carrie Fisher, who did not receive any credit on this film.
Wow.
What?
Damn.
But was in it
smooching
George Lucas.
Or pretending to.
In a far shot.
Yeah. That's hard.
Which we all agree is gross and we don't know why.
It's just two friends being friends with another friend.
I don't think of them as friends because he was the director on a movie.
He is so much older than she is.
Years before this.
I mean, he also I'm not told like her not buds to wear with my boss from 10 years ago.
Space. Yeah, because space, they don't have bras.
In space because of
and
her gravity.
And she was like 19.
I understand. But this is 1991.
She was 19.
In that movie?
The first one, yes.
Okay. Wow, I didn't realize she was that young.
It's and 19- Harrison Ford was like 26.
Yeah, but hot.
And so married.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But they were banging.
Yes, they were.
And so, anyway, the point is men are terrible.
But also, it's fine if she wanted to continue to have a relationship with George Lucas.
After she had been groomed.
Not a romantic relationship.
George says.
George says.
Oh, my God. She was already a successful script doctor by this point, clearly, because she rewrote half of Hook.
Although, I don't know how successful the script was.
I don't think it's her fault. Why did they? Here's my thought.
Being a script doctor successfully is not making a script successful. It's getting doing your job, which is to write the script.
Totally. Here's my problem with it. Why didn't they let her do the whole thing?
I don't know.
Because
the whole script?
Yeah, because Tink's lines were very good. And the whole script was not very good. Also, it was confusing. And it needed a director who had a real vision for what the hell this movie was about. Clearly. Beyond a metaphor of
growing up.
Like the whole like baby boomer thing, right?
Yes.
Can I say what I think is missing from this movie is like any female perspective at all? Because like even with the kids, like the daughter at one point is just like taken away.
It's very confusing.
And then we don't see her again until like the last like action sequence.
Right, where he has to what rescue his children.
Yeah. Like, and the son is like groomed into being a tiny Captain Hook.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that.
And then, she's just like in a room with some other kids that we don't know who they are.
It's very confusing.
I would have liked to see any part of her story or like, I don't know, like Tinkerbell is just only obsessed with taking care of Peter Pan and then also in love with Peter Pan. And his wife kind of turns into like nothingness at the end.
Yes.
Even Wendy doesn't really get that much of a, it's like,
and you know, you found yourself, Peter. Maggie Smith is working as hard as any actress ever has she with so little.
Crushes it.
She crushes.
Maggie Smith is in this movie, by the way.
She's old Wendy.
And Gwyneth Paltrow is young Wendy.
Very confusing.
This was like her second movie.
Yeah, she's fine.
Well, really? It's like her second movie ever.
Wow.
She mostly just turns towards camera and is a little bit older. Right. And she does good.
Well, she gets some lines, but yeah.
Peter.
I looked it up and Maggie Smith is only 57 in this movie, by the way. They really like must have added a lot of makeup.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But they did a good job because she looks she looks like she actually is.
She like looked in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except with different hair, obviously.
Right, right.
But it's different decade.
No, I just want to... Yes, 100%, Beth, because it is like it is so frustrating. And I understand they really wanted to explore the father son bit.
Yep.
But at one point, literally the only happy thought that Peter, the lawyer, is able to come up with to help him transform into Peter Pan is the birth of his son.
Yes.
While his two children have been kidnapped.
Yes. And it's just like she's there to remind the boy. Like she's not even there as a foil to her dad. She's there as a foil to her brother.
Yeah.
Because she still loves their mom. Like her, that is her only role in this whole movie.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It's funny that like because she's so self-actualized, she like isn't useful for the plot. So like literally Smee just picks her up and takes her out of the movie for 30 minutes.
Yeah. She's even come back to like help Jack, the son, like realize like what home means.
To deprogram him.
Yeah.
The concept of her comes back when the pirates say, "Run home, Jack," because they have their sign mixed up at the baseball game. And he remembers the words of his sister. But, you know, she could have just been there.
Yeah. She does get a musical number.
Yeah, she does. Oh, yeah, she does.
Where she sings about being
alone.
Being alone.
Yeah.
And my memory of that scene was that it, like, made all the pirates miss their moms, but that wasn't in the movie.
I mean, there's at least one pirate who's feeling it.
Yeah, I think I read a lot into it because I was like, there's this whole theme of like she reminding the pirates that they have parents too and they like everybody loves each other. Yeah. That didn't happen.
I mean, they're all listening to her. Like, they're enraptured by the song.
I lifted it a couple steps.
Yeah. Well, for sure. That's like me imagining that E.T.'s mom is who comes back for him,
or
right?
Or creating some like weird sexual dynamic between George Lucas and Carrie Fisher because they happen to be in a scene together.
It's not even a sexual dynamic. There's just something off about George Lucas being sexual in any way for me.
I mean, I don't disagree with you.
I think it's not.
I don't disagree with you at all.
That it's Carrie Fisher specifically. It's George Lucas being romantic or sexual with anybody.
Sure, at all. I completely agree.
Okay,
Is it because you're like he is thinking too much about Jar Jar Binks all the time?
Maybe, yeah.
Or it's like such a mechanical act for him. Like he just thinking about like the different elements that have to come together for this specific interaction between two.
Everything is tennis
human
balls.
Creatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, talk about how smooth her skin is because you hate sand.
Okay. Have we watched that yet?
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that the first second one?
That's it. Right. Yeah. There's still one more, Molly.
We got one more, Molly. Yeah.
We're never going to get to that. Oh, Kathleen Kennedy was also an executive producer on this. Okay. Wow. On everything that Spielberg
She's
touches.
She's the Wendy to Spielberg's Peter.
I mean, probably. Oh,
sure. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel a little more angry at this movie than I thought I would, even as the closing credits were happening. Because, it just misses any, like, every woman is just a beautiful prop. Yeah. And why is Tink so in love with Peter Pan?
That is
and
a why weird dynamic.
Like, didn't billions of fairies get created the moment the first child made the first laugh and the laugh burst into... So why is Tink all alone?
You think Hook killed them all? Or is this the only one that made it to Neverland? And they're scattered everywhere else?
Across the multiverse?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just, I
feel like just Tink, you know...
It's tragic.
It does pass the Bechdel Wallace,
though. Yeah, it sure does.
Hard.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, but just not like after that it passes.
Yeah, and it's funny, almost all the orphans that stand up are men. Did Wendy find homes for men?
There were a couple women.
Yeah.
But maybe that's that old Gina Davis, like, extras thing where, male extras outnumber women by.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is there any more gossip? I feel like you're spiraling.
Yeah.
I mean that's the major goss.
I think it's just interesting. Like there are movies like that people, I know that people love. Like when they were kids, they love them, and I didn't really love this movie. And as an adult, when I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's why, because there wasn't really any like girl characters for me to like be like, oh, she's awesome,
right?
So yep. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because, like, you know, like Tinkerbell, besides just having this like tragic, unrequited love for Peter's, like she is has a lot of agency. Like she's pretty badass. Like she's constantly
whipping shit around,
picking people up. But you don't get a lot of that because it's mostly just like a point of light on the screen. That's not Julia Roberts actually acting.
I kind of wish they would have given her a little bit of an arc. Yeah.
Arc was she got real big and kissed Peter and then reminded him he actually loved someone else.
Yeah. And then he leaves and that's the end of her story. Tragic. Like,
Well, she's kind of hoping he forgets in that scene and stays and they become Neverland lovers.
She used her one wish for this jackhole.
I still don't actually. I don't understand what that is. Like, so she's been holding on to, like, is that a rule we didn't know? Like, everyone gets one wish in Neverland?
I don't know.
And it just happens?
Just fairies?
Maybe fairies can grant one wish and she...
To themselves?
She can also grant one to herself.
But she, but only one per entity?
Maybe.
She should have brought back the other fairies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was her wish just to get big for a little bit?
I think her wish was to get big, and then she was, like, demoralized by Peter remembering he loved his family.
Yeah. So how'd she get small again?
Because she didn't care anymore. She, you know, her fairy magic was like, who cares? We don't need it anymore. I'll just continue to be a tiny, incredibly powerful creature who could destroy any man if I wanted to.
I'll just enable Peter Pan.
And yet is in the role all the time of egging on and manipulating and getting men to do what she needs them to do to help other men.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, this metaphor is too real. Yeah. I don't like it.
It's just funny that the two main women characters are like, they have a lot of agency, but in a way that doesn't afford them much to do in the actual story. Because, like, his daughter is, like, super self-assured, just, like, basically telling Hook to fuck off.
And
then he's an idiot. So then she just gets taken away because his, like, child soldier program isn't going to work on her. So they just throw her into, I guess, our best guess is that she was with the children of pirates.
Yeah.
That are just, like, shoved into a house
in, like, the pirate ship nursery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our best guess, because like when he finally remembers he has a daughter and goes to rescue her, there's just a bunch of other kids around.
Just standing around.
But they don't look like Lost Boys.
No, no. They don't. They're just standing there. So yeah. My pet theory, this headcanon, is that they are the children of the pirates and the prostitutes, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And there might be non-prostitute women in town.
Yeah, like
they want to. I mean, they're all credited as prostitutes at the end of the movie. True. But
there's mermaids too.
That's
there
true.
Are mermaids who
and those mermaids are hot.
One of them is really into Peter.
Yeah,
like the first two, you're kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, they're just giving him air so he can survive. But they're like, still, it's like a little flirtatious.
Yeah.
The third one is ready to go.
That scene was
awkward.
I mean,
who is this movie made for? Because part Spielberg. Of it is, I mean,
no, apparently not, because he hated half of it.
He did, but he was attracted to this based on the same story he keeps telling, which is him as a little boy and his dad not making time for him.
Mm.
It's just the same movie over and over again. And not all, I mean, Jaws, I don't think was about that. But
no, the shark is his father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. But yeah, it's just like, it's an allegory for boomers, I guess, but then you have moments that are so powerful and so gut-wrenching, like the nanny crying out that the children were screaming. Ugh. Or the boo box, or there are a couple other moments that are just so real and so gut-wrenching. And then I think that's part of why it seems so weird when Peter Pan is so saccharine and weird.
Yeah, especially because one of the most gut-wrenching scenes is when Rufio is killed.
Oh,
Rufio. And as he's dying, he tells Peter, I wish I had a father like you. And then afterward, they all forget that he was there.
Oh, like 5 minutes later.
It's bizarre.
As one of our listeners points out, Fra, how quickly do they forget Rufio after he dies?
Seriously.
Right away. And he's still so cool.
So cool.
His body is still warm and they've moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like there's this massive battle between the children and the pirates that somehow the pirates lose. I have questions about that too.
but like shooting eggs.
And
pirates hate eggs.
Yeah. And one of them can transform into a terrifying, uncanny valley of a ball boy.
Oh, terrifying.
Thud. That was the person I predicted. It was like kind of a bummer because sometimes it's like, to their credit, to the movie's credit, he did have a lot more going on than just like he's big. But like the movie kept reminding you, like, he's very big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like they do have, like, he does have like an actual personality and very charming scene between him and Peter.
Yeah. And we have him to thank for, I think, a giant block of cheese that just says thud butt.
Which I thought said chud butt.
Yeah.
I was very confused. Anyway,
so was that his face carved into the cheese?
I guess it's his cheese.
All right.
Like it's his brand of cheese. Like he imagines his own brand of cheese.
He's like, I also am a cheesemonger.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Some of them are skateboarding basketball players. Rufio is a wind skateboard pirate acrobat.
Yeah.
And Thud is just like, I want to make cheese.
Yeah.
So that's Peter Pan is the only one that can fly.
It seems that way.
But he can't make cheese.
No, of course
not.
No.
Can you imagine? Peter Pan has severe ADHD. There's no way he could focus long enough to make cheese.
Why can he fly? Because he came there as a baby?
I don't
know. Like, he's still a human who came from Earth, right? He's not like a fairy from Neverland.
I guess maybe it's because he was imbued with fairy dust at such a young age that it fused with his DNA.
Sure. Is he, like, raised by the fairies?
Maybe.
Kind of?
Kind
of. Tink took him there?
Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
What happened to the fairies?
She falls in love with it.
I think Hook killed him.
Even though she's kind of like his mom in a way.
Yeah. Well, okay, there's a lot
going
of
back to the Wendy grandchild.
It's a lot of mom stuff. There's a lot of weird mom stuff in this story.
Yeah. Because Wendy is like, Peter's into Wendy, Wendy.
Wendy was into Peter.
And Wendy's into Peter.
But doesn't he call her mother? Am I making that up?
I don't remember that.
I feel like she like replaces like his, like she becomes the mother of the Lost Boys.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she has a crush on him. It's all very Oedipal, I guess. But
I think
she's like his mom. She sits around darning socks and telling him stories.
Yes.
I mean.
But I think Peter's sort of like the father of the Lost Boys.
Right.
But then when she gets old, Then Peter's hot for her granddaughter.
There's this amazing scene where you know, like, the just to puncture the dialogue that she's old now is like Meg. You know, it's been Gwyneth Paltrow going like, "Oh, Peter," and then it's suddenly Maggie Smith like just being like sad and not turning her head. And then when she turns her head, young Peter's hand just goes like, "Oh!" And then, like, shock, it bounces back in terror.
Yeah,
at a middle-aged woman.
Yeah, but she's got a granddaughter, and once Peter lays eye on her, he's into it,
and he just kisses. Gives a real kiss to this granddaughter while her grandmother...
Wendy does nothing.
There is no consent.
Yeah. No, this she's sleeping.
Wendy does nothing.
Yeah. She and sort then, of is like, no, and then gives up pretty fast.
Yeah. I mean, there's the thing we kind of learn as the story progresses, as we watch Peter, like, relearn himself and we watch Hook brainwash his son.
Yeah.
We kind of learn, like, there is a parallel, kind of a parallel track on where you realize, like, oh, they're both cult leaders.
Yeah.
Like Peter Pan and Hook both run their own cult of like stunted men children. Some of them are actual children, some of them are adults. But like it's kind of the same deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like they both just like create this world of like you can do whatever you want and it's chaos, but also I'm in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Just realize this is about cults, really.
Yeah. The cult of fatherhood? I don't know.
A cult of success, too, right? Because that whole him as the head of mergers and acquisitions as a lawyer or whatever.
Let's appreciate that, like, he is, like, they made sure that he was, like, the most broadly corporate evil they could think of. Like, he is an attorney.
Chairman of the board.
At a company that's essentially Bain Capital. That is apparently a deal's falling through because there was an environmental impact study.
The Sierra Club.
Yeah, and that they're going to lose billions of dollars because of an owl. And he's like pissed they can't just kill this owl.
Yeah.
Why can't it fornicate somewhere else?
Yeah.
You're telling me a 10-inch owl has a 50-mile mating? Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just appreciate it. That was very like 90s. Just like, yeah, you know, just bad corporate man, whatever.
Yeah, we really, as a culture, dogged on lawyers in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look what happened when we stopped.
Yeah.
Maybe we need the law.
But we love them too. We want to watch LA Law and every other law show that's ever happened.
Suits?
Law and Order.
Are those lawyers?
I don't know. Are they?
Suits is gross, man. I watched some of it because I was interested in Meghan Markle and I was like, what is this show? And it's just like two bros being bros.
Yeah, that's most lawyer shows.
I know, but it's like very... And then there are a couple really smart women who are basically Tinkerbell. It's annoying.
Mm.
I don't know, guys.
Before
I get so fired up about how much I hated this movie, I do want to give some props because there are some very good physical comedy bits that... I laughed or said, oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I said, oh, that's good quite a few times.
Yeah. So,
and I will say, like, we talked about the set. That was the thing I was the most impressed with. Like, sounds like they spent an insane amount of money on it.
Yeah.
But it is.
It looks great.
Ornate.
It's so like, fun.
Yeah. Like, the captain's quarters on the ship and, like, the whole, like, the boats when they, like, start battling each other and stuff. There's, like, just so much stuff going on.
Lost Boy Island that has, like, 8 different biomes on
it.
Yeah. And I appreciate that it wasn't CGI.
Yeah.
Me too, Steven.
Spielbergens.
Speaking of the Lost Boys hangout, Benvis asks, does this feature Shredder's hangout Jungle Edition?
Yes, absolutely.
We made that comment.
100% Shredder's Teen Town Jungle Edition.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he is chased by kids on skateboards dunking a basketball, shooting, like, sticky arrows at him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if they had decided... They decided, like, what age bracket they were going for more decisively, Rufio would absolutely have been smoking.
Right. Speaking of smoking, Hook at one point has a double cigar holder that he can smoke 2 cigars at once with.
There's a lot of, the whole, whoever just was, like, in charge of, like, the Hook, just props and costumes, my God.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Those gloves were incredible.
The various Hook accessories were incredible. The jacket he wore all the time was so cool. His stupid eyebrows.
Yeah. Those eyebrows. I just feel like someone was like, is it too much? And like, no, go more.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly just like looked at the Disney design and just like kept pointing at it.
Yeah.
And then just like they cheap like bringing Dustin Hoffman back out. They're like, no, no, no. And point at this character from the cartoon. No,
seriously,
again.
Look at how much hair look he has.
Him. Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah, I wonder if the original book's illustrated. Yeah. Is it consistent?
So. Yeah. I think it is.
But yeah, there's a point where they latch on the hook and the mechanism is so satisfying.
It is.
And yeah. I'm like, some of that could be Foley, but it really looks like they built this thing.
It locks in. It's cool.
Yeah.
It looks great. The fake food still looks really fun and delicious.
It does.
Even though it's a lot of oily meats.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And Play-Doh.
And Play-Doh.
Or like yeah. frosting?
Yeah. Colored Miracle Whip?
Yeah.
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 Or like just that like canned Duncan Hines frosting or something. Piped into different shapes.
Yeah. And Thud Butt.
And Thud Butt cheese.
Oh, it was butter. Was it butter maybe?
Whoa, because of
and
butt.
And the ur got cut off?
No, it's cheese.
Okay, yeah.
It's cheese like shaped. Cheese.
Okay. And it Chud had butt holes
cheese.
In it.
It's okay. Chud Butt cheese. Okay.
So that's nothing but the best.
Oh, speaking of the hook mechanism and women with agency.
Yeah.
There is a point where they are at the baseball game that they have created
yeah.
literally just to keep brainwashing Peter's son.
Yeah.
And Captain Hook is sitting at the top of the bleachers with presumably like one of the prostitutes, Drusilla.
Yeah.
Says, Drusilla, get my glove or whatever. So yeah. her job is to take the hook off and replace it with the glove.
Glove hook.
She is so horny for that hook. Yeah. Like she doesn't
moan when she takes the hook
so
off.
Sexual.
It's gross.
It is ridiculous. Like that's clearly like what he pays her for.
Yeah. yeah.
Like they never have sex. She just handles his hook and just goes like, it was very unsettling.
Very weird for a family movie.
Oh, that reminds me. There was a moment in the baseball game. Like it was just like, I don't know, just like the tone of this movie is so funny because it's like, they're pirates.
Yeah.
They're murderers. And like, they never quite, they don't, that's like part of their characters, but it's also like kind of a children's movie.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. Like, I was just thinking of just like when like the pirate tries to steal second base and they just shoot him. Yeah. And yeah. Jack's just sitting there at bat and was like, oh, so he's just like fully disassociated at this point.
Yeah.
As they murder a grown man during this baseball game.
Child soldier.
Absolutely.
I mean, you would be, right? Like, if you like, all kidnapped. Of a sudden, like, we're taken out of your bed and then by we're in, magic. Like, a magic world. Yes. You'd be like, oh, I'm dead. Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess from what we saw, like, the scene we didn't see was Hook literally just, like, blew the entire, like, every door and window of the house open with, like, magic Neverland wind. And then just, like, scraped his hook along the wall as he went up the three floors of the house.
Oh, my
presumably
God,
then kicked the doors in of the bedroom. Stab the note on the door, and then Smee, I assume, just like picked the two kids up with his incredible strength.
Yeah, and they probably flew away in a pirate ship somehow.
Yeah.
We don't even know.
So that's true. I suppose, like, he's already been so traumatized, and yeah. now he's been, you know, the, like, there's probably a scene between the baseball game, like, the scene where he's smashing clocks and, like, yelling at his dad by proxy and like playing a baseball game, there is probably a scene where Hook gives him like cocaine laced with gunpowder.
And like, yeah. Yeah. We didn't see all the pirate stuff.
Yeah. Cause like it is, I mean, from what we see, like it's a fast transition. Oh, he is like God. Fully yeah. dressed as him by the end of the movie.
And of all the ways the dad, Peter as the executive dad,
yes.
lets down his kids. Ugh. And there are so many of them. And he keeps saying, my word is bond. And you're like, no, idiot. It's not. Like, what yeah. kind of bond,
don't
man?
Say that if
stop
you're not going to follow
bonds
through.
Bonds aren't worth anything anymore.
Sometimes real life just sneaks yeah. in, okay? Yeah. But it's awful because his children are hoisted in a net. And Hook makes this deal. It's like, if you will just fly up there and touch your kids' outreached hands, just touch a finger, I will send you home with them right now. And he doesn't. Try like he tries but he tries can't.
A little
but he's got fear of heights lol he used
Peter
to
Pan
fly
is afraid of heights.
Yeah
I said
yes
those kids need to try to rock
that's
the net
true.
Back
they
and
they
forth.
Put a little more effort into
like,
it
like I mean it, they were only a couple inches away from each other
yes.
like really they could have just rocked over there.
Beth Gibbs from Totes Recall the podcast says blame the victim.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if blame that's what I'm saying
children. But even if he had made more of a visible effort right yes. and I guess that's the whole point but
yes.
it's just like honestly rewatching this movie and knowing that separation from parents is like literally the most traumatic thing you can do almost regardless of the circumstance. I was like, this just hits differently. And I feel like as screenwriters, people are like, oh, we got to have the kids do something. We got to get them away from their parents. Right. But that is genuinely trauma.
Yeah.
So watching it treated this way, I guess I had some trouble suspending my disbelief, which I'm just trying to cop to. I maybe wasn't in the right frame of mind to see the joy and the humor, though I did love it when the dad pulls out his checkbook.
It's pretty good.
And Captain Hook shoots a hole through the checkbook it sadly hits a pirate standing behind him.
Yep.
That was great.
That was great.
I mean, I don't condone killing, but as a physical
piracy, you're fine with.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, you download all those Napster tunes.
Right. Oh, speaking of children separated from their parents.
Yeah.
Peter finally remembers everything. And we are shown a scene where his mother is talking to, I guess, some friend of hers at a park, going through his entire career and life in Ford. And at first, it just seems like the pram just like, I don't know, the brakes went bad and it just like flew down a hill. But then Peter says, oh, I ran away because I was afraid of growing up and dying. So it's like, so did you will the pram to like fall down the hill?
He willed the birds to attack the pram.
Okay.
And then they show him as like a 1-year-old, less than that.
Like crying in the rain in the middle of a courtyard.
What is this, Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
right?
It kind of had Batman energy. With the rain.
Batman didn't voluntarily separate from
his parents. You know what I mean? Where they just keep pouring it on.
Yeah.
But then was the mom, was that his real mom or was that his idea of a mom?
I don't know.
He's not going to remember a mom from that age.
I don't know.
I remember my mother.
Hook and Peter Pan have a Batman Joker dynamic.
Sure, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of have created each other.
Absolutely. And they have a weird respect for each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all he wants. I did appreciate that element of Hook where it's just like he's so annoyed that Peter sucks. When he first shows up, like he's like just so dejected that he's just like a big dork.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, I guess that's how going to your high school reunion and the guy who tortured you and was awful is just like, just a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he apparently just like keeps me on his toes by threatening to kill himself a lot, apparently.
Yeah, weird comedy scene of Captain Hook. Apparently, it's happened before. Tried to shoot himself in the head.
And he's like, don't stop me, Smee. Don't you dare stop me.
Stop me, Smee.
Yeah.
Why would you stop me, Smee?
Yeah.
And
that was in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, everybody. Hey, hot goss. Somebody's got to find it.
Oh, I thought you had hot goss about Bob Hoskins.
Bob
Hoskins.
He was so
hot
good.
Bob Skins.
He was so good.
Thank you.
Excellent.
That's right? A real laugh.
Can we just appreciate him for a moment, RIP?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's so good. What about Smee?
Just, I don't know. His whole energy is a delight.
Speaking of, we have another listener comment about Bob Hoskins.
Speaking of. No? Okay.
Oh, I get it.
No, it's fine.
Very good.
No,
I didn't get
it.
Speaking of.
Oh, that's
I should
good.
Have said it like that.
Yeah, yeah there you go.
Sorry.
Come on, Dan.
Okay.
I'm going to add some comedy to it.
Thank you. I'll take the note. I'm taking the note.
From My Last Name's a Palindrome. I never saw Mrs. Doubtfire as a kid because I never wanted to watch a Robin Williams movie other than Hook.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure it doesn't hold up, but I love the absolute weirdness of it. Aww. Also, what's up with Bob Hoskins at the end? Is he still Smee? Trying to hide in plain sight, or is he trying to freak out Peter? Is he a totally unrelated character that happens to look like Smee?
Oh, I hope it's the middle one.
Yeah.
I hope he's just like, check this shit out. And he just goes back to regular England for a 1 minute
to break his brain. Oh, you mean at the end.
Yeah, where like clean up the bottles. He's like, oh, something wrong with the missus.
I actually didn't know if that was supposed to be like one of the things where it's like, oh, maybe it was a dream after all.
Like Wizard of Oz, right?
Or if it was like, oh, maybe he's not safe because Smee's like spying on them.
Oh, or third option, maybe they were like, we're not going to make this go into 41 days, Spielberg. Work with the cast you have.
Right.
Sure.
I think my interpretation is that Smee kept all that treasure he stuffed into his pants and fucked off to London because he realized what a shitty dynamic he had going with Hook. And he probably, as he was, I don't know, chartering a ship, saw the crocodile fall on. He's like, oh, great.
Oh,
no one's coming after me.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the fact that his life's work was now done.
And he'd had had an apostrophe when he said, "What about me?"
Oh, yeah. Yes, an apostrophe.
Loaded up on the family jewels.
Oh, but then did he lose them all in like a gambling match or something?
Oh, maybe.
Like, why is that's he why sweeping? He's a janitor?
Yeah. That actually tracks. Like, yeah. If he got to London and then immediately just like, all right, let's like round on me. And then he puts down like a gold goblet and the bartender's like, what the fuck is that?
That's
what am
Play-Doh.
I supposed to do with that? Yeah, it's all imaginary treasure. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
The crocodile is also confusing.
Yeah.
And I remember being confused even as a child.
Me too.
When you usually just like let things wash over you and you're like, it's fine.
Let's think about this for a minute. You and I as children, we let Captain Hook threatening suicide wash over us with nary a thought.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, this is just a thing he does with Smee. Ha ha. And probably didn't even like totally even process like what was happening on screen.
Yeah.
But the way the crocodile comes into play is so out of nowhere confusing that our child brains are like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like Peter and Hook are having this big battle, and then Peter wins, but he's honorable, but yes. Then Hook's not, and he whips out a secret sword.
So cool. Spring-loaded sword is so cool. That's why he has the big sleeves.
Yeah, but Mrs. Peter or something. Oh, Tinkerbell yes. intercedes. Of course she does. And then Hook stabs the giant crocodile that's in Town Square that's been stuffed and boarded up and is a clock tower.
Yes.
Green gas escapes from the crocodile. First thing that's kind of confusing, but okay. Yep. I don't know. It's digested.
Because you'd think that it's like stuffed with like sawdust and...
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like,
but then the clock falls up, Hook backs up, and then the crocodile's head moves down in a way that's, for me, is like not quite just gravity.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it coming alive?
Or is it... Yeah.
But then it just falls, right. And you're like, okay, it's not alive. It's just falling. But then Hook disappears into the mouth, and the crocodile burps.
Yes.
And it growls.
And it growls.
It's so confusing.
There's just like too many disparate data points of like, is it actually alive or not?
Right. It felt.
And maybe it's, spiritually eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also right after we reveal how old Hook is, right? Because his wig comes off.
Maybe he was just
so old that the tiniest trauma turned him into dust.
You think he like actually like burst into dust? That was just the illusion of a belch?
Here's what like I actually think.
That's the sound it made when he turned into dust.
Totally.
My actual thought is that Spielberg hated this ending and took so long because he was trying to think of a way around it.
Right.
And in the end, just filmed it and then hated it and said, can we add a belch sound to make it clearer? Or maybe some executive edit that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not clear. Did he get eaten?
Yeah, did he crawl into the thing? A double cigar. It's like, how are you going to know what happened to Hook?
Or maybe he was like, no, we need to come to life and eat Captain Hook. And like, our budget is gone, man. Yeah. You spent it all on that food.
Oh, right. Like, originally it was going to like fully come to life and like stomp over to him. It's like, just knock it over. Yeah. Whatever.
Just have Hook look horrified and hold very still. But even his clothes are gone.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Like, even if his clothes had been in a pile...
Because it's not like there was any sort of...
Like, it's just a hollow. Close. It was like dropping a jar on someone.
And because it's not like the earth that they were on would cause enough of like a bounce back where like the force of the crocodile lady would like ricochet Hook up into its throat.
Yeah.
It does seem like an ending where it's like, we did it. Yeah. oh, look, it's done.
Yeah, it definitely screams 40 days over.
Yeah.
We need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I just say one more thing? Going back to Moira and lack of agency.
Can I say one more thing about the crocodile scene?
Fine, we'll do the crocodile first.
That's just where we already were.
The crocodile's a woman!
Yeah. I think the scene where his wig falls off is, it's a great shot.
Yes, agreed.
Dustin Hoffman looks so good as like revealed old, like this is actually what life is.
Yes, and he's like, and he has these ridiculous black dyed eyebrows and mustache, and he looks so absurd in a new way.
Right. And it's just like, this is, he's a real adult and the magic is gone.
Yes.
That sort of thing. I found it really bracing.
As Rufio said, all grown-ups are pirates.
Yeah.
And now look, he truly is a grown-up.
Yeah.
Wow.
The grownest up.
Yep.
Yeah. The most aged.
Give me my dignity, Peter. You've already taken my hand.
That line was well delivered.
Yes. All of his lines were
Speaking of well delivered lines,
please.
Moira at the beginning of the movie.
Moira is Peter's wife. And Wendy's
granddaughter. She gets fed up with Peter being on the phone.
Ugh.
And she throws his phone out the window. Hell and she has this incredible monologue where she's basically like,
oh yeah, that was real as hell.
It was the realest monologue where she was essentially like, our kids want to spend time with us. We will be chasing them for a while. These are such short years. And of course I was screaming and crying during this whole thing.
While eating pizza.
I really know how to multitask. I was probably already checking Wikipedia. But it was so good. And she's so solid and self-actualized as all the women in this movie are. It's almost like Steel Magnolias where all the women are fully actualized and the men are just like running around shooting at trees.
Yeah. Except this movie follows the men.
Yes, exactly. But then at the end, she's just this like cherubic, like angel sleeping on a rocking chair who gets sort of weirdly punked by her children who who have been so desperate to see her, but they don't run right towards her. Instead, the little girl says, let's not wake her just yet.
Yeah.
And hop into bed. Why?
Right. That's the thing. Like, let's not wake her just yet is a very different from let's hide in our beds and then pop up after she's already like already re-traumatizing herself.
What is with the pranks? What? And it's just because no one could decide if this was like Wizard of Oz where it was sort of a dream and sort of not.
Right.
And so it's a plausible thing.
Right.
Or is it like just weird?
It's so weird.
Kids who have been craving to see their mother are not going to be like, well, let's hold off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give her a minute.
And she wakes up, and to Beth's point, she wakes up with like a giant leaf flattened against her
like
body.
A beautiful
and
beautiful crimson leaf in the dead of winter.
I mean, if you were to wake up in anything that big were on
oh
your
God,
body,
yes.
Like
oh,
you would just
freak
be,
out.
I would definitely think it was some sort of bug or something.
And she's just like so serene. It's, weird.
It's weird.
She's a little bit, I think. Like, I think she's lost it a bit because she just has, like, no emotion.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's, like, completely in shock.
For sure.
I guess.
She's like, I still see them when I wake
up. Well, and also, like, it's not clear if Peter checked in with her. No, he couldn't have because Tinkerbell's, like, kidnapped him, basically.
It's also not clear how long they've been gone.
It's not.
I mean, it's, like, 3 days in Neverland, but I don't know if time works the same way.
Well, it can't,
right?
Because Peter comes back. He feels like he's coming back after a few days, and Wendy's gotten older.
Yeah. So who knows how long they've been gone?
Maybe it's on the black hole, like on the rim of a black hole, and so time is just different.
So yeah, maybe she's been there for like a month.
I recently watched Interstellar, so
I've
been thinking about this a lot lately.
Very good. Are there any more Q's and C's?
Great question.
I feel like you've been peppering them in, but I don't want to leave anyone hanging.
Sure.
After they did such a nice thing of doing the thing we asked them to do.
Taylor History, Steve, says back-to-back Julia Roberts movies. Back-to-back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. 20 Roberts. It's five.
I'm guessing her performance in Pelham and Cabrief was better.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
She did great with what she was given.
I have to say, I was surprised by how much I liked her delivery of almost every line.
Yes.
Especially considering what she was doing that under.
She just didn't have much to do.
No.
Mm-hmm. She's a more interesting character in Pelican Brief.
For sure.
Yeah.
But she did do a great job of like having sort of this like childish, like childlike kind of spunk at some times. And then like when things got real, like she was, you know, Roberts in it.
Yeah. You know, that childhood spunk, like sometimes you'll watch like a 6-year-old walk towards you and they're walking with this like confidence, like they got the whole world by the tail.
Oh, you know,
I felt like she embodied that with her voice.
I just realized she basically, like when you first meet her, she's essentially playing the Tinkerbell as if she were playing Peter Pan in a stage production.
Oh, yeah.
Because Peter Pan is usually played by a young woman.
Right.
And that's usually, I think, how they play it. It's like, I'm just a little boy. I don't give a shit about anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do like that they worked in the clap for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was some good, there was good moments.
She did great with what she had.
Yeah.
I think. But Pelican Brief is definitely way more interesting.
I think mine, of the only three Julia Roberts movies that matter, my order is Pelican Brief, number one.
Yep.
Hook, number two. Mm. Steel Magnolias, number three.
Damn.
And I think they're all good, but that's my order.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I would swap Hook and Steel Magnolias.
Okay.
I agree with the smartest person on our podcast.
Thank you.
Beth.
Oh,
thank you.
Me. It's me. Who said
me.
Nothing?
It's me.
It's me. I said nothing, which is the smartest choice.
Yeah. Okay. You're not going to
I don't want to alienate any of our Roberts fans.
Okay.
Our Magnolia heads. Our Pelican Briefs.
Yeah.
Our Hookers. Wait a minute.
Ooh. All right. The reference machine asks, isn't the star of the movie Robin Williams as Peter Pan? Why is it called Hook?
Whoa.
Mm. Wow.
Maybe because there's already Peter Pan movies and they were like, there's also Hook in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like
he he's the inciting incident, for right? For sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's also the most interesting performance. Come on.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. I love Robin Williams, but he's a little mixed up in this.
Well, like his job is literally to like be as repressed as possible for half the movie. And then he's supposed to swing so hard the other way that it's like almost unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is unsettling world when grown men pretend to still be children and say they don't want to grow up or help you with the dishes.
Yeah.
Men.
Like that scene in the movie where he refuses to help Tinkerbell wash up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the game's on.
That's right. The pirate baseball game.
That's right. Fra asks, I know this has been asked and debated, but I'd like your input. Was Hook named that because he lost his hand, or was he already Hook and the hand was a happy coincidence?
Whoa. You're blowing my mind right now.
Because before this, he was just going around. He was like pitching movies and there was always like a really good Hook.
You're saying Captain James?
Yeah, it was just Hook, really good. At the pirate.
Wait, no. Are you saying, hold on. Are you saying that the man we know as Captain James Hook was originally some bloodthirsty studio guy in the Hollywood system who eventually found himself in Neverland and reinvented himself as this incredible pirate?
Yes.
I love it.
So what came first? He delivered good hooks for movies or he was named Hook?
He delivered good hooks
and
for movies.
And his nickname was Captain Hook.
They called
Hook.
Him Captain Hook. Okay.
Because he was the captain of hooks.
And then he lost his hand and then the hook was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was like, you know what would be cool for a hand?
Yeah.
Hook.
It's me. Get
or
on
Or maybe
it.
His hand is still under there.
Oh.
You think it's all bullshit?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I saw an interview with Dustin Hoffman.
Hey.
Just kidding.
Honestly, though, like the way he acts in this movie, like it would not be completely out of character for him to like, oh, he doesn't remember anything. I'll just tell him it's his fault. I don't have a hand.
Oh, yeah.
But he does actually just have it under there.
Yeah.
And he's like Vega from Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. I think we peppered in the other ones in the ep.
Producer Beth?
There's one more. My last name is a palindrome, said, my dad always pointed out the one pirate played by David Crosby, and I never knew who that was. I pointed it out this time.
You sure did.
Who was it?
It took me a while.
He's like an older gentleman.
He's like a laugh. He laughs at something.
Yeah.
And then I think he gets like chicken. Does he get hit by the egg gun or does he get?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Oh, no. He gets shot, hit in the nuts with that plank.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
By Thud.
Crosby.
I got thudded in the nuts.
Yeah. So and Jimmy Buffett was there too?
I didn't see that's Jimmy Buffett, but said. I wouldn't recognize him.
I mean, maybe
him.
He was R. wearing R. a parrot.
Whoa.
Right?
Oh, amazing.
He loves parrots.
He does.
Parrot head.
Mm-hmm.
This is Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yes.
Correct.
And Young.
Correct.
And
was in Genesis. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. Wow.
The hammer to the nuts.
Buster Browns. I would have really appreciated it if right before the credits came on, they just did that riff. That would be terrific.
Yeah, yeah, like he just had a bunch of like coconuts and
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Missed opportunity.
Seriously, yeah. Steven.
Go. Next time that you get lost in a movie and you need a little bit more direction, call us.
Yeah.
We will give you some good ideas and lead you the right way.
Just drum fills. It's always drum fills. Yeah.
Drum fills and incorporating more women like storylines into your
and just like fully complete women.
Yeah, and if you're going for a hard R, maybe throw a little dong in there.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Come on.
Yeah. More big dong.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, no.
Any dong.
Any
nope.
Any size.
Flaccid.
Nope. Not needed.
Size. All size.
Nope.
All flaccid.
Yes, nope. All size.
It's dogs. Okay.
Spilbo Bergen.
Nope.
Oh boy.
I'm just saying,
this came out in 91.
Genitals dragon. He was nude the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe he did. Maybe part of him was genitals that we just didn't know.
Maybe those were fingers, right?
Oh, boy. Okay.
I hate that. Cut
new
that out.
Merch proposal. New merch proposal. We just take a image of ET and just says part of him is genitals.
Don't like nothing else. Don't point at anything. Yeah. Just leave it to the imagination.
It's up to you.
You decide.
Well, Beth got the year right, 1991.
Nice.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Beth.
Thank you very much.
Our rating scale, as we all know and remember, is It's Me, Rufio, which is a knockoff Russian, you know, straight to DVD Peter Pan Mario Brothers mashup. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before you called it Super
Hook?
Hook.
Super Hook.
Super
Bros.
Hooky Brothers.
Nice.
Super Hooky Brothers.
Captain Hook is a large turtle dragon.
That's right.
Thud is a thwomp.
Is Rufio a toad?
Sure.
Yeah.
But he's got a burn across his face as he hunts the Avatar across the Arctic waters. Sorry. I'm obsessed with that.
With what?
The guy who plays Rufio is the voice of Lord Zuko on the cartoon Avatar.
That's right. Oh!
Did you not realize why I was making those references the entire time we watched the movie?
I was like, I guess Dan's rewatching Avatar.
Yep.
Avatar's awesome.
I mean, he hasn't fully gone through puberty in this movie, so that's probably why he sounds a little different.
Yeah, he totally sounds different. Yeah.
He's 16.
Huh.
I honestly, 18. I thought you were like saying, I thought the joke was that he was Fire Nation because he had red hair.
Oh.
But anyway.
Sure. But he also has a wind sail skateboard.
Hell yeah.
That's true.
Whoa.
Airbender.
He's the Avatar. He's the Avatar.
Four of those is what you gave, Dan.
Yes.
And you remember liking it as a kid, but maybe it's not good anymore because children are dumb.
Yes, children are dumb. Not any of your children, of course, and not the children who are lost in Never Never Land. Oh, well, maybe some of them. I don't know.
The most adorable child who squishes Robert Lloyd's face up and goes, there you are.
Some of those kids were too damn cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
TDC.
Like, that was their job, was just to, like, smile on camera with great lighting.
Yeah.
And make you feel things.
They had the best time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, like, you know, maybe Hoskins was just, like, doing a little soft chew for him while Spielberg was, like, in the corner just, like, looking at script pages like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I hate this.
Now I do love picturing Spielberg just like at a table, just like screaming and like tearing it down. And like some of the other actors being like, all right, kids, why don't we go over here and, hey, why don't you show me that cool dunk you did at the basketball hoop earlier? Oh, shit. Steve's spiraling.
Someone build another set.
Yeah, quick. Anyway, yes, I was worried that this movie might be a bit of a slog. And maybe it was, like, there were definitely a couple points I'm just like, this doesn't need to be happening for as long as it's happening.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, the, you know, kids versus pirates extravaganza, like, ran a little longer than it needed to. It's like, do we need another weird projectile weapon that the Lost Boys use? Do we need a second scene where the creepy thud ball rolls down and gives me nightmares? Good Lord. I don't know. Nostalgia was there. I definitely felt like I'd returned to Neverland because I watched it so much as a kid.
Oh. Now you don't have to do the dishes.
Nice.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. And now you guys have got me all bummed about how like sexist it is. 3.
Oh, I feel bad.
No, it's fine. It was kind
like
of
I've
a slog.
I've taken away some of your childlike joy.
No, honestly, like this movie lives and dies on Hoffman's performance.
Yeah.
And so like that deserves a 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Speaking of threes.
Hey.
Beth, you gave it a 3. And I went, not bad.
Yep, that's true. I thought you were calling me a 3 and I was like, rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a Neverland 3.
I'm a Neverland 3.
Is that good?
It's only because you're so old.
Yeah, it's because you're an adult.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Ew. All adults are pirates.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so I don't like this anymore. there are a couple parts of this movie. Okay, the sets are amazing.
Mm.
Incredible. I am so impressed that they did all that stuff without CGI. Dustin Hoffman's performance is incredible. also Hoskins. Great. Mm. Everything else kind of falls flat for me. And so I feel like it did have potential for being amazing, but it like didn't quite get there. So I'm also going to say 3. I'm going to stay with 3.
Okay. Yeah,
great.
3 It's Me Reviews. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I give it 4 It's Me Reviews. Mm-hmm. Thinking it would be not hold up. A child, Dan, would give it a 5.
Yes.
In the middle of the movie, I was thinking, this should be better. Something's, this looks really cool, but it's not coming together. So it tracks, Molly, with your comment that Spielberg lost his way in the middle. I can see that.
The real lost boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
Whoa, that should be the name of the documentary.
But yeah, it looks cool. Hoffman's great. Rufio's still cool. It's fun, but it's a little much and muddled. And that's too bad. Mm. So, but I'm going to go 3.5.
Nice.
Great.
Yeah.
In memory of Rufio.
In memory of Rufio. All right, baby.
Never forget.
Yeah. Surprise. I'm a little surprised that I still think he's that cool. As a 43-year-old man, I'm like, yes, the 60-year-old rules.
So cool.
With his spike hair.
It's hard to deny that like wind skateboard.
Yeah.
Mm. My man's got Riz.
He's got Riz coming out of his spike hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his gold sword that he gives back to the Pan.
Because he has honor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does. He's not shitty.
No.
He's a little shitty, but like.
Well, he's got, because he got abandoned by his fake dad.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he wishes he has a father. All right. 3.5. Molly, all I wrote was cynicism.
Nice.
You allowed yourself to feel angry at this movie.
Yes.
Even before I think you fully realized the sexism in it.
Yeah. So. You know, and it started out okay. And I was like, maybe I've been too hard on this. This is kind of sweet. This is interesting. It's funny. It really resonated with me. The whole thing about kids only being kids for so long. And I've heard before the description that being a parent is just having less and less access to your child. Like, you can hug them less the older they get. Mm. Anyways, put on my mind. So there were parts of it that were genuinely moving and so cool, but I am missing that nostalgia. Dustin Hoffman, I don't know why I remembered him in such a negative light. It's a great performance. And I just feel like most everybody else was given kind of a hard task. Because I that main thread just, it just wasn't there for me. However, especially hearing all the great Q's and C's, I feel a little bad about not being more supportive of people's joy.
Be true to yourself.
Yeah.
That's what we learned in this movie, I think.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Well, I still have lots of respect for our listeners. And if you have any nostalgia at all for this movie, I totally get it. And you are respected. I personally give it a 2.
Yeah. Nice.
2.
Smash
it's
that
me.
Clock. Smash that clock.
No. Yeah. I've succumbed.
Yeah, the themes, the potential themes are really good. And there's a lot to say there, and they're just not cleanly delivered on.
Yeah,
it's like growing up and parents disappointing you, and what does it mean to like reclaim your youth now that you're a parent? And those are all like can be really good. Like,
they kind of pop in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
And why can't mom, is she have a job?
Well, does she just read to the kids? Dads are sort of like more important because they let kids down more. And moms just always do a good job and everyone expects that of them and they never fail.
Right, of course.
Oh. I mean, if they do, they're a bad mom, but they don't do that. Moms always just do it.
That's what I've learned from it.
Dads, you got wiggle room. Like, you could fail and then come back and it's fine. That's just how dads are. Because they're doing business.
They're killing wetlands.
Can I tell you what my absolute favorite moment in that movie is? Please. I just remembered it. They are at the beginning, they are at the daughter's school play and she's in Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And Peter's phone rings and he answers it and it's like a business thing and he has to go do a thing tomorrow. And his son is like, but dad, tomorrow I have my baseball game. And he has a baseball.
Yeah. And he like brings it up into frame. Yeah. That was so good.
I mean, it is probably like that's probably real. Like kids who are like obsessed with baseball, but it's a little bit like, but I have a baseball game.
It's like so movies, just like baseball.
Yeah.
Register this audience.
Yes. This is important.
It is funny. It's funny in a 1991 way of like sending a employee with a camcorder to record the game that you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also it's like, when would you ever watch that footage?
Seriously.
Gotta kind of be there.
Yeah. Also like, and I can say this, especially because I don't have children, like most children's things, like it's cool that like your kid is doing something and like being, putting themselves out there, but like they're not good or impressive most of the time, right?
How dare you?
I'm just saying, like, even if he had gotten that home run, like, it would have been, like, cool, like, oh, good for him. But, like, if you're sitting there for the entire game.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, though, that whole culture of parents watching baseball games is not casual.
So I've gathered.
It is intense.
Yeah.
My brother was an umpire, like, when he was in high school and college. And he got in many a fight.
With parents. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. They are, they take it very seriously.
That has to be such a weird position to be in. Cause like on one level you're, you know, 19, however old your brother was.
Yeah.
So like a part of you is like, fuck you, old man.
Yeah.
But then another part of you is just like, I'm the authority figure here and you're 38.
Yeah.
And you're screaming, at a child.
And it's like, and you just like, it must be so hard to like, even be like, what do I do here?
Yeah. I would, that would just be so embarrassing if your parent is acting like that at a game. Ugh. So parents,
hey,
cool it.
Cool it. Parents of sports, sirs.
Yeah.
Or others, sirs.
Have speech I told club. You my favorite story of my friend who used to coach soccer. She's like almost a semi-professional soccer coach. And she was filling in for somebody and had never before coached anyone under than like fifth grade or something. And these were kindergartners. And she had, they weren't playing well. Yeah. And she had gathered them together and she was frustrated. She goes, listen, you little worms. Oh my gosh. And like the 19-year-old umpire kind of glanced in her direction. She was like early 20s or something, kind of glanced in her direction. She was like, good play out there. Let's keep it. Just please try to see where the ball is. Listen, you little worms.
She was suddenly pulled back into reality. Yes,
like, wait a second.
By the judgmental gaze of a teenager.
Just a little cautionary glance.
Which is, to be fair, one of the most powerful things in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
The judging gaze of a teenager.
Oh, man, no joke.
Dear God.
Oh. Wow. Sorry, I was just flashing back. I'll be back in a minute. How long was I gone?
Oh. Yeah. Don't wake her up yet.
Hide under the covers. That is weird.
Right?
Yeah. That movie is weird.
Hey.
Kids, if you get kidnapped by pirates.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is a good PSA.
And you are, when you're reunited with your parents, like, get their attention right away.
Like, right away.
They want to know as soon as you are safe.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what's happening, they could be in the shower.
Right.
Sleeping, you know, playing a game, working on their computer.
A big leaf may have landed on them. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, even if, you know, you see them with another little baby.
Maybe tap on the window.
Yeah, they still would like to see you even if you are dumb and think that they don't want to. Yeah. That you've been replaced by another baby.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
No.
Peter, come on, idiot. Peter. Talk to somebody. Maybe talk to a pirate for just a minute and be like, hey, just want to run this past you, an adult.
Yeah.
Before I kill you.
I've been talking to fairies this whole time. I just want to get a different perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, I showed up and they had another baby, so they forgot about me? Yes or no?
No, Peter, what you have to understand is they're not replacing you. They're just trying to move on with their lives. And sometimes that includes having additional children and building that family despite.
No, Peter, they would have had that kid anyway.
Peter, they wanted more than one child. They'd love to have you back.
They really would. You just tap on the window. Peter. A couple of times. They'll be freaked out that you're wearing a weird green costume and flying, but they still want to see you.
It's me. Who are you talking to in there?
It's me.
Rubio. Rufio.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Sometimes real life creeps in.
That's right. I mean, I would love to see Marco Rubio in that insane outfit and that crazy red spiked hair.
Adults are pirates.
Hey.
Oh.
Am I right?
Real talk.
Glug, glug.
Reality?
No, I'm sorry. I was just thinking of when he did the Republican rebuttal and he kept drinking water. Oh, it was awkward.
Oh. That was awkward.
Cut this out.
No, don't.
Please don't leave this.
This is real. This is what Neverland doesn't exist. Reality is hard. Accept it. Children and grown-ups alike.
I'm gonna feel it coming in the air tonight.
Sledgehammer.
Bangarang!
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.